dish it out, I guess you better be ready to take it all the time, huh? We're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 13. We do appreciate the church here and the opportunity to come, and we certainly know all the work that goes into it. And we want to invite you to come to West Milton. We have a conference in June. This year will be the 28th, 29th, and 30th, and we'd love to have you come. We always have a good time there, too, and enjoy these conferences, and we enjoy ours, and hope that you can come and be a part of it with us. Had some people ask me about what I was going to preach on, and I just kind of said pickers, and they thought maybe I was talking about pickers and choosers or something, but I didn't really know what to call this message. I just kind of weeds. Pickers. You know what? I hate pickers. And I hate stepping on them when I was a kid. And I hate seeing them in my yard. And I hate it when they grow up and they seed out and the burrs stick all to you. I just don't like pickers. But I can recognize a picker pretty quick. I know what a picker looks like. And the first thing I do is I get my little concoction of stuff out of my pole barn and it kills them. It'll kill them quick. But there was one time my wife, you know, I planted gardens and I tried to get by with gardens, and the pickers took over my gardens, you know, just did. And I gave up on gardening, and I'm not the kind of gardener my brother is or Tim Brock is. I look at their gardens and it just makes me sick that someone have a garden that nice, because I could never do it. Just don't have the ability. First of all, I know that concrete clay does not grow good gardens, and that's why I wasn't a very good gardener and I didn't like hoeing. So I just wasn't very good at it. My wife thought she would plant a little small garden one time out behind the house, just a little 3-foot by 8-foot garden, herb garden. And one day she told me, she said, "Would you go out there and weed that thing?" I went out there and I thought, well, it looks like it's all weeds. I mean, so I didn't know what was a weed and what wasn't. I'm looking for a picker. But I thought, well, that looks like a weed, so I pulled that out. And I thought, well, that looks like a weed, and I pulled that out. And about 10 minutes later, she came out, and she said, "That's the basil," and she's putting that back in. And so I found out, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell one weed from another. And that's what we're going to talk about here in Matthew chapter 13. The Lord, it says here in verse 24, says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while we gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until harvest. In the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Skip down to verse 37. And he answered and said unto them, he gives them the meaning here of this parable, a very simple parable in many ways. He that soweth the seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace with fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." There are a lot of differences here we can compare, obviously, to the parable of the sower. Here the seed is not, in different places, is not the word of God, but here it says it is. In a sense, the seed is the individual person. It's an individual, and the tares are individuals. The tares are the people of the world, it says. The field is the world, and the condition is the heart of man, versus the condition of the heart of man in the other parable of the sower. There are some things here that are certainly the same. The devil and his wickedness. The devil is the enemy, it says. And the fact that there's fruit brought forth. This parable is commonly called the parable of the tares. It tells us here that after Christ told the parable, it says, then they went into a house. I believe it was probably Peter's house in verse 36, which we didn't read. If you want to look at it there, it says, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Not everyone heard the answer. There were those that Jesus sent away, and then there were those that heard this interpretation. No doubt many left never knowing and hearing the interpretation. And as I first thought about it, I thought, oh, you know, there was much said about Brother Jones's message, which I loved about being there on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. Because I feel that so many people miss so much. These people, many of them missed the interpretation. They weren't near him and they weren't with him. And they weren't there to listen to the answer. I see that many times that's our problem. The problems with Christians today is that they're not close enough to him. They're not near him. They're not there, and you know what? They don't even care to hear the answer. They don't really want to know. And they won't listen when the truth is plainly taught. Well, I believe many times that we need to be more like Martha, or more like Mary instead of Martha, I should say, who was too busy to be near him and listen. But Christ often used parables of his time to explain things that they could well understand. He talked a lot about sheep, and they could understand them. And he talked here about tares, and they could understand it. You know, if I talked to the people here of Mount Morris, Michigan, and I talked about a traffic jam that looked like I-75 northbound on opening day of deer season, everybody would go, huh? They would know immediately what I meant about a bad traffic jam because they understand what I-75 northbound on opening day of deer season looks like. They understand it. But you know, if I'd have said that 100 years ago, people, I-75 wasn't even there. They would have had no clue. But when he talked about this parable of the tares, they understood what it was. They understood what it was to have an enemy. A tare wasn't just a problem weed. You know, I look at the pickers in my yard, and they were a problem weed to me. And they can be a nuisance weed. But a tare was far more than just a nuisance. They understood what it was to have an enemy. He speaks about those there certainly being the wheat being those chosen by him, and the tares being those by Satan. And we notice that it says Satan is the enemy. He still is our enemy. He's always been our enemy. It says he's like a roaring lion seeking about whom he may devour. He's not there to just be a nuisance. He's there to destroy. He's there to destroy. You know, over in that part of the world, they still understand very well what it is to have an enemy. I don't think that we really understand, and I think sometimes a nation, our leaders, don't really understand what it is to have an enemy. These radical Muslims don't want to see Christians live happily. And neither did their enemies then. And neither do they now. You know, many times their enemies then couldn't destroy them with the sword. They would seek other ways to destroy him. And one way that they would seek to destroy him was to sow tares in their field. You may say, well, how can that destroy him? Well, you have to understand something about tares. But we have to understand that Satan is our enemy. It says he's a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. And Satan wants to destroy not only you, your marriage, your children. He wants to destroy as many of the Lord's churches as he can. He wants to do whatever he can to ruin you. And you might say, well, how could tares be such a harmful thing? You have to understand what a tare was. Some of the people, you might have a Scofield Bible, you might, and it might say at the bottom of your Bible what a tare is. Many times I just thought it was just a problem weed. But you have to understand, the devil doesn't just want to cause you problems. Certainly he does want to cause you problems, but he wants to destroy you. The tare was a kind of grass that looked just like wheat. In fact, it was the name of it is Darnell grass, if you ever want to look it up. Darnell grass. It not only looks so much wheat like wheat, it's called false wheat in some parts of the country. False wheat. The only real difference in appearance in Darnell grass and wheat is that Darnell grass, when the buds of grain form on it, they're a little smaller. But the main thing about Darnell grass, the main difference that's noted, is that when wheat gets to a certain point and grows up to a certain point, it finally does this. It bows over. It bends. But Darnell grass never bows. I think that's very significant of the children of Satan. They never humble themselves before God. They never bow over. And that's how you can notice them. But there's something else about this Darnell grass that is even more than just the appearance of it. It's poison. If it's eaten, it's poison. You see, that's what the enemy wanted to do. The enemy didn't just want to put pickers in the garden. You know, a nuisance problem. It put in something there that if it was ate, it would destroy. It would kill. And it was something that was so hard to spot that many people would harvest it with their wheat, and they would eat it, and they would feed it to their children and to their grandchildren, and they could destroy many. Amen. Without losing one of theirs. But Satan knows just how to do that today. He's filled this world full of poison. You know, he talks about the Darnell grass. The roots were so intertwined with the wheat that there was no hope of pulling them up. Many times that's the problems with Christian people today. We're just too far intertwined with the world. They had to be left alone. If the enemy were successful and were able to sow the tares and the Darnell grass had been sowed in their field, they would grind up this poisonous seed with the wheat. These people, when this parable was told to them, they understood it. They understood well, wow, this is a horrible thing. The devil is out to poison us. He's out to kill us. They said, the enemy is Satan. He's out to destroy us. They clearly understood it. For certain, we can understand true and see a false Christian in this. False wheat. What better thing could Satan do than to have people who claim to be a child of God, but were there nothing more to do than to poison God's people? Look just like wheat in many ways. Many false Christians can fool many. They look like Christians, but to the trained eye, who knows, and the Lord certainly knows who they really are, their character shows itself more as they grow. Their seed is little. Their fruit is small. Their stalk is straight as can be. It never bends or bows like wheat. So true of those who never humble themselves before God. You can go back and look at the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. One of the things that he said was, he said, your sheaves will bow towards mine. Would humble themselves, and isn't that what happened? They all did one day. His brothers all did. But the devil has done well at intertwining so many with God's people to cause to destroy them. The people who heard the parable of the tares well understood the danger of what an enemy had done. I read a little about tares even in our world today. Tares still growing in many parts of the world, especially in Canada and Saskatchewan. It's a problem with cattle eating it. So powerful that it can kill cows. The USDA said that Darnell grass has most likely killed 250,000 sheep over the past 30 years. It's very poisonous when ate. But you know, when I thought about this poison, I thought, how much poison do you feed your children? You know, I never thought too much about poison. I was trying to think when I was first introduced to poison, which kind of made me kind of strange, because the first time I was really understood what poison was wasn't when I was an infant. It was when my parents had their first grandchild, and they were telling me, don't let the baby get in under the sink because there's poison under there. And I thought, gee, I've been under that sink a lot. You know? And I remembered, you know, the little, you know, the black label with the white skull and the crossbones. I thought, yeah, poison under here. But, you know, you wouldn't feed your children poison, would you? Or would you? How much poison do they get through the CDs they're listening to? That music today, some of it is just incredible what's being said, you know. Well, Imus lost his job for saying it, and most of it, your people, your young people probably listening to the same kind of words all the time. Yeah. And through the movies that they go to, the parties they go to, how much poison from their friends and acquaintances are you feeding them? Satan is out to poison your child's mind. He's our enemy. He doesn't want to just cause a nuisance or a problem. He wants to just kill your children. He wants to kill your marriage. He wants to destroy Home Baptist Church and West Milton Baptist Church, the Grace Baptist, the Faith Baptist. He wants to destroy them. They certainly understood what it was to have an enemy. The Lord said, when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. You know, it's not always visible at first. Satan loves to poison the Lord's church. You look for those church members who never bow, never humble themselves, always against the pastor. Boy, I tell you, there's a sign of a tear. The one who won't follow the word when it's preached.
Amen, brother. Come on.
The one who doesn't want to ever change the way they dress. Those are all signs of a tear. They don't bow. They never humble themselves. You know, if someone has never bowed or humbled, I don't think they can be saved. The Lord humbled me. He humbled my brother. If you're here and you're saved, He humbled you. But you know, that's why I think the Lord says He hates the proud look. That proud heart. One that will never humble themselves. But you know, the devil doesn't march him in and say, these are tares. In fact, it tells us in Jude, it says, for there are certain men crept in unawares. Satan doesn't announce that he's going to sow tares. He doesn't say, oh, I'm going to put these people in and these are tares. He brings them in to do nothing more than to poison. In Galatians, it says, and because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty and do nothing more. What was their job? To poison them with back to the law. To poison them that way. Here in verse 28 of our text, he says, an enemy hath done this. I think we need to really understand that we have an enemy. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather up them up? The Satan sows his tares is very subtle. He does not announce his attack. I think it was Brother Hancock years ago talked about a roaring lion. He said, you know, a lion doesn't roar until after he's already got his prey. Pretty sneaky up until that point. Then he brags and roars. But he said, the Lord said, nay, while they gather up the tares, he says, lest you gather up the wheat with them also. Let both grow together until the harvest. You know, there is going to be a harvest.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. Brother Hamill spoke about it. That rapture that's going to take place.
Amen.
We're in this world here for a purpose. The Lord didn't just say, okay, it's time, when he found out, you know, the devil's put these tares here, I'll bring them all out. No, he left us here. To be a light, to be a witness. And certainly we're here in this world. And the world is full of lost people, and we don't really necessarily know in the world who the tares are. I think they're easy to spot in the church. But on around the world, sometimes we don't know who the elect are and who they aren't. That's already been bought very clear. But we have to do business with them. But the Bible makes it very clear, has even been brought out this week, that we're not to be unequally yoked together with them. And we need to watch out for our roots. Watch out for the poison that's in this world. In Deuteronomy, look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 5. Here, when they were going through the land and had left Egypt, the Lord in verse 5 of Deuteronomy chapter 2 said, "Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not for much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. Ye shall buy meat of them for money, that ye may eat. And ye shall also buy water of them for money, that ye may drink. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through." He knoweth this, that we walk through this land. He understands that we're in this world, but we're not to be intertwined with them. The poison of this world will destroy your home. What better way could Satan destroy than one of the Lord's churches and not only fill the pews with tares, but try and fill the pulpits with them too? In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, he said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves." A tare looks just like wheat. And there are wolves that look like sheep. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The Bible is just full of warnings about false prophets and false teachers and false preachers. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 12, he says there, "But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory." You know, that's one way you can find and quickly spot a tear in the pulpit, is they're looking for glory for themselves. They're looking for esteem. "That they may be found as we are, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers," Satan's ministers, "also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Tares in the pulpit. A pastor who has never humbled himself, not humbled himself before God, will not bow or bend before the Word of God. The Word of God sometimes just breaks my heart. I love it to see when preaching happens and to see other preachers just touched by the preaching. Amen. I love it when I see those old preachers sometimes just weeping. I love it to hear Brother Hancock sometimes just pray. He's touched. Amen. I would say beware of those that today, I think it's been mentioned this week, we need to beware of those who quote the writings of men more than they do the Word of God. They hold to the writings of men more than they do the Word of God. They love the internet more than they love the Word of God. They love men's books more than they do the book. Those who love, he said, self-esteem. Those who never bow. Never humble themselves. We had better be boned up on what a tear looks like. We have an enemy out there that's out to destroy not only our homes, but the Lord's churches. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, look at this verse here. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions That's a quick way to spot a tear in the church. Those that want to divide and split a church apart. I think that Brother Jones said, you know, they're not the ones that the church problem people aren't the Wednesday night crowd. That's a lot of truth to that. But he says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to doctrine. They've never humbled to it. They've never submitted to it. Which ye have learned, and avoid them. We ought to be able to spot those. We're not to judge them. That's been out this week. It's not for me to condemn them, but I can be a fruit inspector. I can look at that stalk, and I can go out there, and I can say, I need to know what that kind of weed looks like. That it not poison my grandchildren. That it not poison my children. That it might poison my church. We need to know. The devil has filled this world full of terrors. We ought to be able to spot those who never bow, never submit, never humble themselves before God. We must not let them poison the body. We as pastors need to know how to spot the false wheat. Protect the flock. Feed the flock of God. You know what? We're not to feed the flock poison. We're to feed it the opposite. There are lots of warning in the Bible about false prophets. We need to be on guard about this false wheat. The tares will do something else. I was thinking about what else they do. You know what tares do? It says that their roots are so intertwined with the wheat. You know what it does? It steals all the moisture out of the ground. You know what tares will do? They'll steal all the pastor's time. So the wheat suffers. The wheat suffers because the pastor's always taking care of the tare problems. And robs the wheat of the blessings. But Christ made it clear that there would be a harvest. And that they would be separated. He said, let both grow together. Both are going to grow together in this world until that harvest, until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles, and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. The end result is that the tare is made clear at the end result for the wheat too. The wheat is gathered into his barn, and the tare is burned. It says, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. And it says, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. There will be a separation. It says, two will be in the field and one will be taken and the other left. Clearly, again, they understood. They understood what it was to try and harvest out a field that had poison in it. And the difficulty in separation. But they understood the importance of it. That everyone had to be separate. They understood that the care that would have to go into the separation of all of these. It gave new meaning to this verse to me in Matthew chapter 3. Look at this verse. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 12. Talking about the Lord coming back there, and it says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. You know, I used to always think about not leaving any behind. They make sure that he will gather all of them. You know, if you ever go by a grain silo, to me it looks like the biggest disaster of spilled wheat or whatever, grain, corn. And I think, boy, they left a lot of it on the ground. And I always thought, well, the Lord's going to thoroughly purge. He's not going to leave one. And that's true. That's why he hasn't come back yet, because I believe he's waiting for that last one. Amen. That last one to either be saved or that last one to be baptized into his body somewhere. But his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. There's not going to be any darnel grass in his garner. The Lord knows those that are his in his church. They may fool you. They may fool me. We may not know, but the Lord knows. No sinner is going to be allowed in the home of the Lord. There is a spiritual harvest, and Christ made it clear that those who followed Him made this clear to them when they went back to, I believe, the home of Peter, where He told them. In verse 41, it says, "The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend." All those things that are poisonous and offend are going to be taken and gathered up and burned. "And them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." There is going to be a harvest. And the Lord knows who the wheat. He knows His wheat, each and every one of them. And He knows who the tares are. He's going to send His angels to gather them up and separate them. The tares to be burned. They won't be burned up, because they'll have a body that can just keep on burning for eternity. In Jeremiah, it tells us there, the harvest is past. It was Charlie and I were talking at lunch, and he was saying, you know, we got to talking about how people, many people used to be saved, and maybe 100 years ago, and probably every church service, maybe somebody was saved. We truly are in the days of gleaning, I believe, as Brother Hamill preached many years ago. Just a few here and a few there. But the harvest is going to be past someday. When that trumpet does sound, that he said Brother Clark or somebody said he was just waiting for that. Well, the trumpet will sound and he'll be changed. He'll be the first one out of the grave now. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up later. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. There will be many people in that place when the saints and all the wheat disappear. The tares are going to be the ones that said, the harvest is past, and we're not saved. The Lord said in verse 43, He says, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Are you close enough to the Lord that you can even hear? I'll be honest with you. There's so many times over my life that my spiritual life as a member of Home Baptist Church went like this. And there were times that I know that I was so far from the Lord, I wasn't listening. I wasn't hearing. But you know, I could always go back to the fact that there was a time that I humbled myself before the Lord. Have you ever bowed and humbled yourself? Or are you that rebellious stalk that won't bend over? That won't bow your head and humble and ask God for forgiveness? Are you so intertwined with the world and part of this tares that you can't see your way out? The Bible tells us to come out from among them and be separate. We are commanded to be separate from this world. And then if you're here and you're a parent, how much poison have you fed your kids in the last year? How much of this world have you allowed him to just take in? He's our enemy. He's out to destroy the Lord's church if he can. He'll start with your children. He'll start with you. Start with your spouse. He's going to do everything he can to destroy as many homes as he can and poison them. He's our enemy. He doesn't want to just make things difficult for you. He wants to destroy you. Do you understand that? He is our enemy. They understood what it was when they said, the enemy has sowed tares in the field. They understood it. Do you understand? He wants to destroy you. If you're here and you're lost and you've never bowed before him, you will be destroyed one day. You'll be destroyed in hellfire for all eternity. And suffer there. Humble yourself before him, before the harvest is over.